I think that this group's performance was about my favorite of the whole festival. It's Charlie Hayden's Quartet West. Charlie Hayden on bass, Alan Broadbent on piano, Ernie Watts on tenor saxophone, and Lawrence Marable on drums. An extremely classy, energetic, romantic quartet. One of the finest groups, I think, performing jazz these days. And you'll hear concert and conversation from Charlie Hayden. And here's an example of the kind of energy I'm talking about. Charlie Hayden's Quartet West with Lenny Tristano's Lenny's Pennies.
Thank you.
I will tell you, everybody went out of that concert high. It was one of the nicest shows, I think, that there was at this past summer's festival here in Montreal. Charlie Hayden and Quartet West there with Lenny's Pennies, and you'll hear lots more from them next week. Quartet West came to Montreal this past summer as part of the jazz festival and performed beautifully at the Théâtre Maisonneuve. We present part of that for you now, and I have conversation with Charlie Hayden, too, about the music, about the L.A. that he is evoking with this group. Here are Charlie Hayden, Lawrence Marrable, Ernie Watts, and Alan Broadbent, starting with Charlie Parker's Passport. We'll be right back.
Thank you. We'll be right back.
From the Théâtre Maisonneuve at Place des Arts here in Montreal, one of my very favorite concerts that happened this past summer here. At the Montreal International Jazz Festival, Charlie Hayden's Quartet West with Alan Broadbent on piano for that beautiful intro to Hello, My Lovely. Lawrence Marable on drums, Charlie Hayden on bass, and Ernie Watts, the incredible, on tenor sax. He really is amazing because during the rehearsal, they were rehearsing and doing sound check in the afternoon. And any time that it was possible, Ernie Watts would go to his dressing room and rehearse. And at the intermission during the show itself, Ernie Watts was in his dressing room rehearsing. And I asked Ruth Cameron, Charlie Hayden's wife and road manager, is this, I mean, does he do this? She said when he's on the road, this is his meditation. This is Ernie's meditation as he practices every single chance he gets. And it certainly shows when he plays. I had a chance earlier in that afternoon, after between the sound check and the show, to sit down with Charlie Hayden and to talk to him about this group. And talking with Charlie Hayden is always an amazing experience. In 1984, I think I talked to him for 2 hours about everything from the sound of wood in the bass itself to his years out west in New York. I mean, everything under the sun. So it's not hard to have a long conversation with Charlie Hayden. We were talking about the Los Angeles, which no longer exists as such, but the Los Angeles that is the spirit of this music and of the group Quartet West. And articulate as he is, he says that he has a hard time defining exactly what it is that made that city so special.
It's really difficult to describe in words, but there was definitely a feeling there unlike any other feeling in any other city. It's very special, you know, and it's all because of the film industry. It was a combination, you know, the right stuff at the right time. It was just the way it was timed, you know. The composers were there, the directors were there, the writers were there, the architects were there, the events were there, you know.
The stars were there. I mean,
yeah.
The people who epitomized glamour, the grandeur, the melancholy, because and the fact that you pin it also not only to the movie industry but to Philip Marlowe, and there's the kind of underbelly. All of the text that you've taken from the various books for the liner notes have a kind of disenchantment, a sort of longing for something, for things to be as beautiful as they seem,
mm-hmm.
but that they aren't really. And yet he can't stop. Tougher guy as he is, he can't stop being a romantic about it.
That's right. And especially, they can't be like that anymore. They can only be that way in your dreams and with some kind of communication in an art form, I think, you know. Certainly, there hasn't been a film that's recaptured it, maybe with the exception of something like Chinatown, which really came close to it. But the feeling of those films, of the films, you know, like The Big Sleep and Key Largo and Dark Passage and Maltese Falcon, which was San Francisco, Key Largo was Florida, but the feeling of those films were all Hollywood, you know, from that time period. And
again, there was always someone disillusioned in them. I mean, that love... There was love, but it was sometimes treacherous. There was always somebody that you couldn't trust. Mm-hmm. Much as you wanted to believe in something, life was going to set out and prove you wrong,
mm-hmm.
if you took that chance. Is that how you feel, I mean, in general, about the culture that we live in, that except in a dream or an old film or in the music that you can make with this group or that other musicians are making, that that's where you're going to find some true, pure beauty that you can cling to?
Mm-hmm. Well, the popular music in the 40s that sold millions of records was somehow deeper, as far as I'm concerned. It was the music of Duke Ellington and Fletcher Henderson and Billie Holiday and Frank Sinatra and the Pied Pipers and Glenn Miller and Tommy Dorsey. Those are the records that sold millions of records. And that was the popular music. People were buying all those records. You know, Bobby Soxers were swooning over Frank Sinatra. It's somehow wanting to bring that to young people who didn't have a chance to experience it, and wanting to bring it to people my age who were just on the tail end, actually who were not on the tail end so much, but too young. I remember in 1947, I was 10. And I wish I could have been a little older, you know, so I could really have appreciated that. I always thought that maybe I was born too late. I wish I could have been born 10 years earlier, so I could have maybe had a chance to hang out with Humphrey Bogart or Max Steiner. You know, I've read a lot of stories about Max Steiner and Victor Young and the composers, Franz Waxman and Adolf Deutsch and all these guys. They all used to get together at each other's houses and play poker and drink and mm-hmm. talk about life. And then also, if I had been a musician, which I know I probably would have, you know, in this fantasy, I would have played with Bird. But if I had played with Bird when all this stuff was going on, I may not have ever, I never would have had a chance to play with Ornette. I mean, all the events that happened with me wouldn't have happened. Mm-hmm. So I really am glad that everything happened the way it did, and that I emerged in the language of jazz, with a bang, with Ornette and Don Cherry and Billy Higgins. It was almost the same feeling, I suppose, that was going on with Bird and Dizzy and Miles and everybody that was playing in the early 40s, you know. I was just talking to Red Rodney, you know, and asking him what it was like, you know, in some of those pictures I saw him sitting with Charlie Parker. Mm-hmm. And
looking so smooth with that red hair and those sharp suits. And
oh, yeah. And, you know, you hear some of the records and you know that everybody was really, it was just happening, mm-hmm. and you wish that you could have been there, mm-hmm. you know. So, it's my way of being inspired by that and showing other people what inspires the music and hopefully evoking those feelings in other people, especially younger people that didn't have a chance to experience that, mm-hmm. and bringing all kinds of emotions to people that I think are really healthy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Charlie Parker's segment. Charlie Hayden on bass, Alan Broadbent on piano, Ernie Watts on sax, and Lawrence Marable on drums. Recorded at Théâtre Maisonneuve of Place des Arts this past summer, and as I say, one of the jewels in the crown of the International Festival of Jazz here in Montreal. We'll bring you more of that later in the season, more conversation from Charlie Hayden, too.